Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome you all on live streaming as well. The title of my sermon, as you could see up there, God is not dumb. Christ is the living word. And that word dumb, meaning he's not mute. He can speak and does speak to those who will listen. And this sermon came about on Monday, and I had these thoughts, you know, for those who reject the Book of Mormon, often they'll say that God spoke what he was going to speak in the Bible. The last time he spoke was to the original apostles. That's not true, and I hope to show you that in the Word today. So God is not dumb. Christ is the living Word. Idols are dumb. They cannot speak. Throughout time, people have gone to other sources to find truth rather than to the Word of God. It's kind of a rebellion that's in our nature. I'm going to read from Psalm 115. Beginning in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. In other words, those who trust in idols have no life, but those who trust in God have life. Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. I like that concept. You know, when you fear something, you kind of want to be careful of getting anywhere near it. But this instead is saying, get near to him. Fear God, but get close to him. Trust in him. He is their help and their shield. Christ is the living word. In John 1, it teaches us that he is the word. The living word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He's the living word. And the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world verses 1 through 4, and now I'm jumping down to 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The majority of Israel rejected him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's a promise to us. It's found in the Book of Mormon, that if we believe in him and are baptized, we become the sons of God. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who believe in him, those who are baptized in his name, they will be born of God. And of course, that's that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It talks about that in Hebrews, that he took upon him our nature so that he could be tempted like us, so that he can help us when we're tempted to overcome those temptations. So made himself lower for us. Oh, what is that word? I'm sorry, I can't think of it. But he, what is it? Condescended. That's the word I was thinking of. He condescended himself, God, to take on him flesh. He was God incarnate. He took upon himself the flesh so that he could be tempted just as we are, so that he could help us when we're tempted. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. He was the only one that was born of the Father. He was the Son of God. Therefore, he was God. He was also Son of Man. He was man. Full of grace and truth. Our brother Bob talked about that grace this morning. Christ spoke to other tribes of the house of Israel. He didn't just go speak to Judah, to the house of Israel, to that tribe. He went to the lost tribes as well. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. They shall hear my voice. So, you know, most Christians think that's talking about the Gentiles. But Matthew chapter 15 clarifies that. That he was only to go to the lost tribes of Israel. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I'm going to read the rest of the story because it is so awesome. His mercy and his love. Anyway, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even that as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And you know, we can rejoice in that, us as Gentiles, because that's the same kind of grace that has come to us, that has allowed us to be saved, this same grace that he had with her. 2 Nephi chapter 12, going on with this concept of Christ spoke to other tribes of the house of Israel. Second Nephi chapter 12, beginning in verse 56. Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember they which are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath, and I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because ye shall receive more of my word. So this is back to that concept of, I have a Bible, I have a Bible. I don't need any more. And he's saying, what? Verse 58, wherefore murmur ye, because ye shall receive more of my word. I speak unto all nations. Verse 59, know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, and that I remember one nation like unto another? So we have the Bible, which is God speaking to the house of Israel, tribe of Judah. And we have the Book of Mormon, which is God speaking to the house of Israel and the tribe of Joseph. Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. Very important. How do we judge what's the word of God? He speaks the same words. He cannot lie. He can't vary. He can't change. Verse 61, and when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man. That means he's going to continue to speak when he wants, where he wants, what he wants. But it cannot vary. Must teach the same. And because I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man. Neither from that time henceforth and forever. Wherefore, because that ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose that it contains all my words, neither need ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written. For I want you all to pay close attention to this verse, because it's a commandment to us. For I command all men, and of course that means men and women, speaking of human beings in particular, because we know the word says that he speaks to men, women, and children. For I command all men, both in the east and in the west and in the north and in the south and in the isles of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. That's a commandment to us. Why? Because when he speaks, it has significance, and maybe not just to us. Maybe to others, and to be able to remember that miracle, we need to write it down, and we need to share it with our children and all those who God wants us to. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. For behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I want to just stop and mention here, I didn't put this scripture down, but in third book of Nephi, when he meets with the Nephites, when Christ comes during those 40 days when he was in Jerusalem visiting his disciples, and then he was also in this part of the land, when he spoke to the Nephites, he said to them, I also must go to the other tribes. And the Father knows where they are. They're lost to everyone else, but the Father knows where they are. So he went and spoke to them. And here it says, I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel. That's something I'm not aware that we have yet. So that is something to look forward to that period when we have those records of the lost tribes of the house of Israel, when Jesus visited them, and whenever else he might have spoken to them. And the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home into the lands of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. What a beautiful promise and something to look forward to. So much to look forward to. But I just love this, that we in the Church of Christ believe that God continues to speak, and he speaks to us if we allow him to. Christ speaks to us today through the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There's another promise. So if we keep his commandments, if we believe his word, first we need to read it, then and we need to believe it, and then we need to keep those things that he's commanded us to do. And if we do so, it says he'll manifest himself unto us. So that he'll speak to us in some way through the Holy Ghost. He'll guide us and direct us. We'll have that close relationship with him, and he will tell us what to do. Verse 22, Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, so this is not Judas Iscariot. It's another Judas, disciple of the Lord. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So he represents Christ speaking to us. Christ speaks through the Holy Ghost to us today. He shall teach you all things and bring all things in your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he'll teach, the Holy Ghost will teach us, will speak to us, but will also remind us of the words of Christ as we study it. So the Holy Ghost will always witness of Christ, of his words, his promises, his commandments, will not vary from those things that Christ has said. More on this, Christ speaking to us through the Holy Ghost. Second book of Nephi, chapter 13, verse 16. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. And then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels. What is that tongue of angels? And shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. And this is jumping on over to chapter 14, second book of Nephi, chapter 14, verse 3. And now, how can ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. So when we speak the tongue of angels, we're speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. The Holy Ghost cannot speak anything contrary or other than the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye shall do. Remember what we read back in John 14, verse 26? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send you in my name, he shall teach you all things. God speaking to us today. Same thing here. Same thing here in verses 3 and 4. And now, how could you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. They speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. So we have that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. An opportunity today, if you haven't been baptized, you have an opportunity to be baptized with that Holy Ghost. And if you have, you have an opportunity to listen to it, to ask God, and for him to talk to you and tell you what you should do. Okay, no, I think this is the same concept. Oh, I know. So I just kind of added this verse because it goes on into Acts, which I'm going to read, chapter 1. But I think it's important to know that not just the books we have in the Bible are the only time God spoke. So this John chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things. So John had just got through talking about after Christ was resurrected, he came those 40 days and spoke and taught his disciples. And so he listed some of those things. And so this says, and some of the things that he did, John listed some of the things that he did. Verse 25. And there also are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So we see that Christ, as we read earlier, he speaks to all nations, he says. I'm going to start off now in chapter 1 of Acts, and this is before Christ ascended after those 40 days. He spoke these things to his disciples. The former treatise, and treatise is a writing, have I made, O Theopolis, of that Jesus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So this is talking, and I have to be honest, I think this is something we don't have. A former treatise or a writing written by the author of Acts, whoever that is, because it's not, I mean, people have their ideas, but it's not clear. So this, the author wrote this former treatise, and it says, of all that Jesus both began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so there must have been some sort of previous writing that this author wrote that contained all that Jesus began both to do and teach after he was resurrected up to during this 40 days. Now, it would just be fascinating to have that treatise or writing. It says in verse 3, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And also during that time, he wasn't just visiting them, but he was also visiting those, the Nephites of the house of Joseph and those other lost tribes of Israel. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Remember, we're still on this. Christ speaks through that gift to us, through that gift of the Holy Ghost. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, Christ is speaking to his disciples there in Jerusalem, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, saith he. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And that, of course, was the promise of the Holy Ghost. We read it earlier about the Comforter. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then now here's jumping over to chapter 2 when this occurs. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, and because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I'm jumping down to verse 14. I'm sorry it says 4 here, but it is 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So I want to go back to verse 17 here. God is not dead. God is not dumb. This fulfillment of this prophecy was not just for their day. It was for our day. And he's given us that gift to do these things, to be used by God, to dream dreams, to prophesy, to be used by his Spirit, to have visions, to speak the words of God, to hear the words of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks more about these gifts of the Spirit of God. In verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Once again, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost cannot speak against Jesus. "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." We may do things a little differently here than they do in Phoenix or in Yucatan. But God is using each one of us according to his will for his purposes. Same thing, we may not do things exactly the same way in our family, or I may not do things the same way as my wife does. I may not have the same gifts as she does. But God uses each of us in our different ways and our different gifts for his purposes. Verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, differently, distinctly, as he will, as God will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And this chapter goes on to say that those members that we might not look upon in our natural or fleshly state as being very important are all the more important, it says. Each member is important to be used according to God's will. Christ still speaks by the ministering of angels. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent mercy than they." So angels are subject to him. I'm going to read in Moroni chapter 7, verses 20 through 44. And this talks about how God continues to use angels today. Moroni chapter 7, verses 20 through 44. Moroni chapter 7, verses 20 through 44. "And now I come to that faith which I said I would speak, and I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. So how do we lay hold on every good thing? How do we have good come to us? For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. So good things come to us when we trust and believe in Christ, when we follow him. Let's keep going. For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to administer unto the children of men. I'm sorry, I already read that. I'll go ahead and continue, though. To make manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets, remember we just read that in Hebrews, that in times past he spoke by the prophets, but now speaks us unto us by his Son. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men are fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith men began, they did lay hold upon every good thing by faith in Christ. And thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name. And by faith they become the sons of God. We read that earlier as well. By believing in him, by having faith in him, we become his sons and daughters. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased, or has God ceased to speak to his children? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased because that Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy which he hath upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those who have faith in him, and they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay. No, they haven't ceased. Neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. And behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, shewing themselves unto them of strong faith. And, you know, faith is a gift. And we can ask for it. It's up to him whether he wants to. I think he wants to give us strong faith, actually. So we should ask. So it says, shewing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is the office of ministry of angels. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men, by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him, of Christ, By doing so, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men, so we can be a help to other people, by preparing the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power of it. And I want to just stop a moment there because it reminds me of the testimony of our dear sister lady in Yucatan. She is the sister of our brother Carlos that just passed away just this week. On Thursday, he passed away. She had an experience where an angel visited her 5 times in various places and gave her words to say to her family, to church. And before this happened, their church in Waukee, they were going to services where they were the only family sometimes and maybe a couple other people. And she had this experience. Well, she prayed, actually. She knelt and prayed that that God would fill the pews. And then her father had an experience where he was told by God to build on. And so he talked to the missionaries, and of course, missionaries have budgets, and they're, you know, like, are you sure about this? We should build on? God told me we need to build on, because there weren't people showing up to church. And so they did it anyway. They trusted this was a message from God. Meanwhile, she has this experience of this angel visiting her 5 times, giving her words. She did exactly what it said here. She testified to people in the town. And of course, now the pews are filled. They built on, and now sometimes it's not enough now. Even the expanded church. But because she was one of these chosen vessels of the Lord who had a strong faith, and God used her. And so she said, so she bore her testimony, like it says at the end of 32, and it says in 33, and by doing so, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ. And that's what happened there. That the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father, the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. I'm going to stop there. If you want to continue to read through 44, you're welcome to. I feel led to stop there. And finally, I'm going to read 2 last verses as an example that the ministering of angels continues after the resurrection of Christ. John was given this revelation. Our brother Bob read this verse this morning, Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Actually, I have 2 more verses here, and this is towards the end of this revelation that God gave John through this angel. And this is Jesus speaking in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 22 of Revelation. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. So God sent an angel to testify these things to John and for him to tell the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that's my message to you. Take of the water of life freely. This living word. Be used by that gift of the Holy Ghost. God bless you all.